This is BBC Radio 4. It's 7:45 and time for Saturday Night Theatre.
Seven Against Reeves by Richard Aldington, dramatised by Pat Hooker, with Peter Jeffrey as John Reeves and Elizabeth Proud as his wife Jane. It's a fine morning in April 1937, and we're in the master bedroom of the Reeves' comfortable suburban home.
Half past seven. Better get up. No, by gosh, I don't have to. Morning, Esther.
Good morning, sir.
Didn't expect to see me so here, did you? Forgot what day this is, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes. What's for breakfast?
Porridge, haddock, bacon and eggs, sir.
Good, good. Splendid.
Yes, sir.
Morning, darling.
John! How you startled me! Why aren't you up?
First day of the first month of the first year of liberty, Jane. No more 9-5, no more office, no more city. Won't you congratulate me?
Oh, of course I congratulate you. It's a wonderful achievement, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, darling, you always get up at 7:30.
Not anymore. Oh, you can't know what it means to me to lie here peacefully, just meditating on life. I realise I'll never again have to rush for that bloody old train.
Please don't use coarse language, John. You know how it jars on me.
Yeah, sorry, dear. And never have to do a stroke of work again, but lie here beside you as long as I like.
But darling, what about my bath?
Jane! Jane!
Yes, darling?
Where are my new razor blades?
Oh, I gave them.
What?
I gave them to Basil.
You gave them to... Why?
He hadn't got any. I knew you wouldn't mind.
But I do mind. Some damn female in this establishment has been scraping her armpits with my razor, and it's like a blunt penknife. God damn and blast it!
John!
Where's Marcel?
She isn't up yet, dear.
Oh, why not? It's 9:45.
Oh, but she's still so young. She needs extra sleep.
Then she ought to go to bed earlier. And she's not too young for you to give her own latchkey and encourage her to make a fool of herself.
Oh, John, one must be tender and indulgent with young people. They need to have freedom. If you interfere in their friendships and little love affairs, you only bring on the very things you want to avoid.
Some sense in that, I suppose. But it seems to me you let them do any darn thing they like and then say they mustn't let Daddy know. Daddy doesn't understand, but Mummy does.
Oh, John, you know that isn't true. Ever since they were tiny, I've always taught them to love and respect their father.
While taking jolly good care, they did the opposite.
John!
Sorry. Bit edgy this morning. Unusual circumstances. Beg your pardon.
Oh, it's nothing. I do understand. Now, shall I order lunch for you here today, or will you lunch out?
Why should I?
Well, Basil's away. Marcel will be at the art school, and I'm lunching with Lady Blakebridge.
Who's she when she's at home?
Such a charming woman, so kind-hearted and distinguished, so well-bred. It's just a woman's luncheon, dear, for the new novelist, Vernon Trail.
Never heard of him.
It's a woman, darling. Well, surely you read that lovely book of hers, The Dog Barks Only Thrice.
Never heard of it. Ah, here's our little girl.
Oh, good morning, darling. Oh,
morning.
You're late down this morning, ducky.
I didn't wake up. Besides, there's no point in being at school before 12.
Well, I thought you said it opened at 10.
Well, yeah, but You see, it's so much more important to discuss modern tendencies with the other students than to go through a lot of mechanical exercises.
What? You mean to tell me after all the money... Well, we won't argue. Not today. Today's a very special day. Mustn't spoil today, Ducky.
Oh, there you go again. I wish you wouldn't call me Ducky. It's so middle class.
And what do you think you are? Where do you suppose your money comes from to let you idle and pose about and crimp your hair and all the rest of it? From 30 years hard middle class work in the middle class city of London.
Artists are above class.
Oh, are they? Well, I'm off to do my crossword. Esther, what's this?
Spring cleaning, sir.
Spring cleaning?
Well, the mistress said, as you'd be home most of the time now, sir, I was to do your study first and get it all nice and clean for you.
Very kind, I'm sure. Where am I to go meanwhile?
I don't know, sir.
No, I don't suppose you do. I know. Golf club. Find a game. Have lunch there. Go for a drive later. Why not?
Oh, John, I'm going out now. I've got some shopping to do and then my lunch, but I'll be back soon after 3. You don't mind if I take the car, darling?
George!
Coming, sir! Coming!
Morning, George. Where is everyone?
Oh, it's Mr. Reeves. Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Get me half a bitter in my tank, George, will you?
Oh, yes, sir. Pleasure, sir.
Just had a devil of a long walk. No, I won't have one yourself, George.
Oh, thank you, sir. A small letter, thank you, sir.
Well, where is everyone? It looks like a morgue.
Oh, in the city, sir.
Oh, yes, of course.
Best respects, sir.
Thank you, George. Good health. Ah, that's better.
Didn't expect to see you here at this time, Mr. Reeves.
Oh, you haven't heard then?
No, sir.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've retired.
What? Finished with business altogether, sir?
Yes, through with the city forever.
Well, it's the first I've heard of it, sir.
Fact.
And now I suppose you'll lean back a bit, sir. Take it easy, enjoy yourself.
I've worked for it, George. 33 years hard slogging work. Began at 17. 50 this January. I've worked for it.
Well, I bet you have, sir. Well, I'm sure I wish you all the luck and happiness you deserve.
Thank you, George. Yes, great feeling.
Yes, sir. Suppose it is.
Be retiring yourself one day, George.
Dare say, sir.
Little cottage in the country.
Yeah, like I always say to the missus. If we could afford it.
Right away from everything, just what I should like myself.
Have a nice bit of meadow and a garden.
And poultry.
Oh, and a few pigs.
And a cow. You'll have to have a cow, George. Get fresh milk and butter.
And a bit of a flower garden.
And grow your own vegetables.
That's the ticket, sir.
Ah, yes, that's the ticket, George.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Great feeling.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Afternoon.
And what can I do for you, sir? Oh, it's Mr. Reeves. Didn't expect to see you at this hour, sir.
As a matter of fact, I have retired.
Really?
Oh, wouldn't you like to retire yourself? Nice little cottage in the country away from everything. Pigs, poultry.
No. When I retire, Mr. Reeves, I intend to buy a small yacht and sail round the world.
Sail around the world? Whatever for?
Ah, that's the life. The great Atlantic spaces, the starry nights, Pacific Islands, Australia, the Indian Ocean.
I dare say. Yeah. Now, I want something on gardening. Not one of your beginner's manuals or old ladies up the garden path, but a really advanced, comprehensive book.
Certainly, sir. If you would just step this way.
Yes.
We've a large selection.
Oh, all these?
Oh, yes, sir. We have a very comprehensive selection.
Oh, well, what do you recommend? I,
I've had to neglect the garden a bit. Business, you know. I had to leave it all to Brown, my gardener. But I intend to take up gardening seriously and direct it all myself.
I think you'll find this one helpful, sir. Ooh. Especially directed at serious gardeners. 15 shillings.
Yes.
And this one on delphiniums with numerous coloured plates at 25 shillings. Mm-hmm. And...
They'll do.
Shall I send them for you, sir?
No, I prefer to take them. Start on them this afternoon.
What? It's my book. Must have fallen asleep reading it.
Half past six. Time I used to get home from work. Oh, God, I'm talking to myself.
John, is that you? Oh, did you have a nice day, dear?
I feel so worried about your daddy, Marcel, dear.
What's the matter with him?
He's so restless and dissatisfied. Do put that magazine down, dear.
But he's got lots of money.
That's just it. You see, darling, he's been looking forward to this for years and years, and now he's achieved it, he really doesn't know what to do with himself. He just moans about the house all day, and now Brown is talking about giving notice because he's always telling him what he wants in the garden.
Well, I can't help it.
No, I know you can't, dear. You see, he doesn't know enough people. People of the right sort, I mean. Anybody decent or interesting.
Well, it's no good me introducing him to the art set. I mean, he'd look silly.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of that, dear. Of course he wouldn't feel at home with young people. Of course not. But don't you think it would be a splendid idea if I asked Mr. Hawksneech? Yes, I do really feel that it's time your father met Mr. Hawksneech.
Darling, how nice of you to come so early. I've got such a treat for you. The Duchess is coming. And the press is here, my dear. Janet Fogarty of the Lickspittle and Jessie Adur of the Powder Puff and McSwiney of the Sponge. We shall be quite famous, won't we?
How very delightful. May I introduce you to my husband, John, dear? This is Mr. Hawksneech.
Mr.
Hawksneech, dear. Mr. Anselm Hawksneech.
But all my friends call me Ansie.
I'm not surprised.
I do hope that my husband...
Here's our charming hostess, Lady Bakebridge. You remember dear Mrs. Reeves, don't you? And this is Mr. Reeves.
How do you do?
Oh, Mrs. Reeves, dear, there's somebody over there you simply must meet.
Fine day.
How quaint of you to say that. How very English. Now, Don Monpy, I'm half French, you know. We wouldn't dream of discussing anything so banal as the weather.
What do you talk about then?
Oh, an infinitude of things. Le beau monde, of course, and then literature, art, politics, music, painting, all that goes to make a charmed circle of the civilized elite.
And when you've talked about him, how much forer do you get?
Oh, conversation is the measure of a civilized society. In England, it does not exist. Probably never did exist. How could it in a nation of shopkeepers and retired merchants? Now, dans mon pays. Oh, excuse me, I'm being called. I think I have to go and help explain how marvelous Vernon Traill's new book is. You will excuse me, won't you?
With great pleasure.
Oh, Mr. Reeves, I've got a real treat for you. I simply must introduce you to one of our great celebrities and his wife, Bruce Robert.
Hmm?
Bruce Robert, you know, just published a monumental book on Dr. Johnson. Much better than Boswell. Oh, miles better. Here they come. Mrs. Robert, this is my very dear old friend, Mr. Reeves. Do you think I might introduce him to the great man?
How do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do?
We were just talking about Italy. Blanche and I have discovered a delightful little unspoiled place called Bordighera. We think of taking a villa there. Do you know Bordighera?
No.
Oh, you should see it. Such a lovely place. Quite unique. There are mountains behind and the sea in front and the sun overhead. It's unique.
It seems to obey the usual laws of nature.
Of nature?
I mean, if the sea was on top of the mountain or the sun under the sea, it might indeed be unique.
Oh.
The beauties of Bordighera are not to be appreciated by the superficial tourist. They yield themselves only to the prolonged and unobtrusive study of the man of culture. Every morning I prepared myself by reading from my folio Dante, which goes with us on all our travels.
Oh, I didn't know he read about Bordi, whatever it is. Thought it was all about hell. Oh, excuse me. I see my wife signalling to me.
Where? Where?
You wouldn't have such a thing as a whiskey and soda by any chance, would you?
Of course, sir.
Thank God for that.
Oh, say, this is a lousy party. You can hear yourself speak.
You think noise is happiness?
Hey, are you one of those poets or artists or something that slick fairy keeps bringing around?
No, I'm only a businessman.
Well, it's good to see someone wholesome for a change in this gang. I like businessmen. My husband's a businessman.
In New York?
Oh, do you think I'd be here if I got an honest-to-God husband in New York? No, sir. 6 months ago, I was a happy little tomboy in the Houtman Follies, only pulling down $50 a week, but with plenty nice friends. And then I met one of your six-foot Englishmen with a profile like a movie star, and we got married. Turned out he was really a lord. Only he works somewhere down in your Wall Street area?
Stockbroker?
Hmm?
May I ask his name?
Stone?
Lord Stone, but I've met him several times. Very reputable firm.
Say, really? Say, you're the first guy here who ever heard of him. What is this bunch of stiffs, anyway?
Oh, I'm sure I don't know. I never met one of them in my life.
Then how did you get here?
I was brought.
Oh, so was I. And if I'd known what I know now, would I have come? Hey, would you like to get me a scotch and soda? I guess they don't have White Rock and ice over here, huh?
Marmont, a White Rock with ice for the lady.
I'm very sorry, sir.
Well, whatever whiskey you have then. Yes. I'm retired, you know.
Say, that's swell. Mm. That's grand. You must be feeling like $1 million.
Well, not as much as that. My income now is only about $12,000, but I think that's enough for a man of simple tastes.
Well, I'll tell the world.
Drink, madam.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any children, Lady Stone?
Hell, didn't I say we'd only been married 6 months?
Oh, sorry.
I'm longing for one, though. Do you have any?
Yes, two. They were lovely when they were little, but now they've grown up, well, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah, I know how it is.
Look, you really must come and visit us one day. I'd love to show you my garden. I'm hoping for a display of delphiniums this year, but
John,
my gardener said...
I'm so sorry to interrupt your conversation, but there are several people who want to meet you.
Oh, all right, all right. Lady Stone, this is my wife. Look, you will come and see us, won't you?
Yeah, sure. Sure, if I'm asked. Hmm.
Delighted to have met you.
Did you say Lady Stone? Who is she? How did you know her?
Bumped up an acquaintance at the bar here. American chorus girl. Nice girl, too. Married to a man I know in the city.
But is he really a peer?
Of course he is.
What, in the city?
Why not?
How awful for him, married to a chorus girl. And an American. Well, couldn't he find a nice, well-bred English girl?
Yes.
Iggy, you've simply got to help me.
Help you? How?
My dear, you won't believe this, but I've simply nothing to do this weekend, not a single invitation.
So?
My dear, 2 days in London on my own, at my own expense.
What do you want me to do about it?
You simply must know somebody who'd invite me.
You can come here if you like, if you don't mind the mess. I'm doing a room for Lady Bladeborn.
Oh, darling, sweet of you, but not quite what I had in mind.
What about that woman at Lady Blakebridge's?
Which woman?
From the suburbs.
Oh, Mrs. Weaves, of course.
Though that's hardly the country, is it?
No, dear, but she'll do. Thank you so much. No. Here they are. Right. Mrs. Weaves.
Hello?
Mrs. Reeves, guess who this is?
Mr. Hawksneech, how lovely to hear from you.
My dear, I've just had a positive inspiration. A little dinner party on Sunday night.
How very kind of you. When would you like us to come?
Oh, no, my dear, I don't mean here. Not in my tiny hovel. No, I meant in your beautiful home. To meet such interesting people.
Well, that would be lovely. But Sunday's always a little difficult, the servants, you know. Couldn't we make it some other day?
My dear, no. I'm simply booked up ages and ages. It's simply got to be Sunday.
Well, I suppose we can manage something. Who will you bring?
I'll tell you later, but such exciting people, I promise you. Darling, do appreciate me a little.
Oh, I do, Mr. Hawksneech. I do.
I'll call you back. Now, who do I owe soup tickets to?
Would you care for some sweet, madam?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, madam.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Fathom and Fish. It didn't go on your dress, did it?
Mercifully, no. Oh. Nothing more, thank you.
I'm terribly sorry, madam.
Thank you, Esther. That will do.
I suppose you have as much difficulty in getting a butler as we do.
Oh, well.
Oh, the difficulty one has with the staff takes all the pleasure out of life. I've often said to Rupert that if it weren't for the hunting, I'd give up the place in the country, sell the townhouse, then we could live in a suite at the Ritz.
Tell me, Mr. Rees, what do people do in the city?
What do people do in the city? What do you mean?
I do want to know so much. Please tell me, Mr. Rees.
Well, they try to buy cheap and sell dear.
But surely that's immoral.
That's what happens. How do you propose to change it?
A dictator.
Oh, did you say a dictator, dear?
Yes, it's what we need.
Oh, exactly. If only we had a strong man like Mussolini at the head of things, I'm sure we could have our pick of butlers.
No, no, a nice revolution with lots and lots of blood.
Well, I think it's wrong. Think of all the poor women who have to pay too much for their clothes.
That reminds me of a rather neat little epigram I wrote the other day.
Oh, don't tell us, dear. Oh,
just a little thing I dashed off.
Go on.
England's green fields are bounded by the sea. Her guardian angels soar like russet lark.
Oh, so
we have our battleships to keep us free and feed the never-sated city shark.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's the Navy feeding the sharks.
the never-sated city sharks.
Like
I flatter myself that Pope himself never wrote a better line.
No matter how hard he tried.
Mother, were those vegetables from the garden?
John, I'm sure I don't know, dear. I leave that sort of thing to the cook.
Naturally.
I suppose you know Vernon Trail.
Poor little Vernon. Wouldn't she pass out with mirth at the idea of us not knowing her?
Porky, she's a
dame. Oh, that dreadful mouth of hers.
What men can see in her, I, for one, can't imagine she's so horribly feminine.
Oh, she got up with Donald Cusford, all right, and now I hear it's her publisher.
Ma!
Business with pleasure. The muse in double harness, what?
I say, that's good. I must remember.
Her books are dreadful, all about butcher's wives and having children. I think they ought to be stopped by the censor. Anyway, nobody reads them.
Oh, she sells quite moderately, quite moderately. She has quite a good sale in the suburbs.
Oh, the suburbs.
And the rest of the evening was just as bad.
Oh, can you beat it?
Snobs, that's the trouble with England. Have you noticed? Snobbery, it's deadly. It permeates the nation.
Was the meal to your satisfaction, sir?
Oh, yes, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Now, my wife's a snob.
Now, Mr. Reeves, you don't mean that. I'm sure she's a lovely person.
So she may be, but she's a snob for all that, a social snob. She'll spend any God's amount of time and trouble, not to say money, on people who are supposed to be what she calls the right people, and neglects those who are the salt of the earth. Well, take my old friend Joe Simmons. You don't know Joe by any chance, do you?
No, I guess not. But maybe Jerry does.
One of the best. Plays a damn good round of golf, works hard, open-hearted fellow, tells a rattling good story. No nonsense about him. And yet, would you believe it, I don't think my wife likes him.
Well, maybe he isn't attentive enough to her. You know women like that. Gee, I'm really sorry Jerry couldn't make it today.
So am I. But it's a great pleasure indeed to have you to talk to. You're different, you see. You have a title and charm and good looks, which would take you anywhere.
Ah, you're trying to flatter me.
No, honestly, I mean it. And you don't seem to care any more about this social business than I do. It's an extraordinary thing to me how most women seem to fall for it. And it's the same with my children. You know, Lady Stone, my children are a disappointment to me.
Oh, no, Mr. Reeves, you mustn't say that. It's not right.
But it's true. I've worked hard all my life, went without things so they wouldn't lack anything. Lavished money on them, sent them to good schools, let them choose their own way of life, their own friends, everything. And what happened? I'm just the old fool who pays.
Well, young people are like that.
Mm. Take my daughter, Marcel. Damn silly sounding name her mother insisted on. She's got the art bug. Always talking about art with a capital A. She forgets I have to pay for her to be superior. And Basil. Wouldn't it be nice, Jane said, to have a solicitor in the family? Articles cost £750, and he costs more now than he did when he was at school.
Certainly is tough.
Oh, I'm afraid I've bored you.
Well, no, no, how can you think that? It's most interesting, and I do think it's tough on you.
Thank you. But now you begin to see my difficulty. I had two real interests in life, my business and my home. I've given up one, and the other's failed me. I've got to form other interests, make new friends.
Sure.
So I do hope that we may be friends and meet sometimes for a spot at lunch, and quiet chat about life and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Swell.
That's most kind of you. But you know, I actually find I'm rather lonely.
So am I sometimes. Of course, I've got Jerry, and he's wonderful, but he's at the office all day, and I don't have any real friends in London.
You have one now, Lady Stone.
Oh, don't call me that. It sounds darn foolish when you've been raised in a democratic country.
Well, what can I call you?
My name's Margil.
Oh, but that's charming. Look, shall we have another bottle of wine to celebrate, Margil?
Move the easel, Peter. Move the easel so Mr. Reeves doesn't have to move his chair. And Becky, sit beside Mr. Reeves and help him decide. I just know he's going to love Peter's work. Now then. There.
My God.
This is called Homer.
Peter? How divine!
I think it's wonderful, but Peter, darling, why is there a mountain? Did Homer live on a mountain? Do tell me. I long to know.
Mount Ida.
Mountain? Oh, yes, where the paint seems to be thicker, yes.
But, Mr. Marsbait, what is the milk cart?
Achilles' chariot.
Oh, and that piece of raw meat tied to it.
Oh, Mrs. Reeves, dear, that's Hector. Hector's leg and the glass I stuck on, of course, to show that Homer was blind.
Lucky man.
What did you say, John?
Nothing, dear.
Do tell me, Peter. I must know. Is this your latest style?
I've never seen anything like it. It's tremendous as a Titian or a Michelangelo. It's lovely drawing and composition. Now, Mr. Reeves, don't you think it's wonderful? Don't you like it, Mrs. Reeves? Surely a woman of your distinguished mind and intelligence must like a genuine masterpiece like Homer.
Oh, I do like it. I think it's superb.
There, Mr. Reeves, that picture's yours. Your wife's perfect taste has picked it out for you. Oh, Mr. Reeves, what a wise decision you've made.
There, dear. Doesn't it look nice?
Monstrosity.
Oh, how can you say that? I know it's, well, strange. But after all, dear, it is different, isn't it? And just think, one of these days when Mr. Marsbait is famous and people are simply falling over themselves for his paintings, everyone will respect you so much for being his first patron. You'll have art galleries simply begging you to sell it.
You mean somebody might be fool enough to buy it?
Well, you did, didn't you, dear? You must look on it as an investment.
An investment? That?
Well, let's ask an expert. Marcel!
What?
Come here a moment, darling. There's something Daddy wants to show you.
You seriously asked me to believe that might be worth money someday.
Oh, darling, here you are. Just look at what your daddy's bought.
Good Lord, what's that?
Your daddy bought it for this room. It goes so well with the cushions, doesn't it? But I was just saying...
Oh, yellow with your puce. Oh, Mummy. And it's frightfully old-fashioned. 1931 stuff.
You don't think it might be valuable in a few years' time?
Oh, Daddy, really?
Oh, Bertie, divine! So dreadfully brutal and attractive. My dear, you put English music on its feet at last. You really have. Marvellous, isn't he, Mr. Reeves?
What? I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a headache.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Reeves. Would you like me just to dab your poor forehead with some eau de cologne?
No, thank you.
Never mind. Bertie's lovely playing will soon cure it. Isn't he a genius, Mr. Reeves? Isn't it shocking that the government doesn't do something for him? That he's left to people like us to subsidise his marvellous compositions? Bertie, you simply must play something else immediately.
Oh, Auntie, I'm sure nobody wants to.
Bertie, Mr. and Mrs. Fadham and Fish have invited all these lovely people down to their beautiful home for the weekend, specially to hear you. And I and Mrs. Fadham and Fish will be most disappointed if you don't give us every minute you can. It's such a treat for us all.
What shall I play? Would you like some Debussy or Schoenberg? Would you like to be very old-fashioned and have some Bach or Mozart?
No, no, we can hear them any time. You're being very tiresome and unkind. Make him play somebody's opera, Mrs. Reeves. Tell him to play it. He's being very naughty and disobedient.
That would be lovely.
There.
Oh, well, since you insist, I'll do my best. Of course, it's quite impossible to reproduce the nuances of the full palette of orchestral sound on a piano. Well, I won't give you the title or the plan. Oh, but I can tell you that it's all about England.
Extraordinary young man, that.
Who? The composer? Higgins Ragg?
No, well, yes, him too, but I really meant Hawksneach.
Oh, he's all right. Makes himself useful and pays attention to old women. Here we are.
Oh, thanks. Good health. Something odd about him, though. Gives me the creeps. Mm. Is he English?
As English as the public school system. Good businessman, though.
Businessman? Him?
Oh, yes, indeed. Lives quite moderately well. On invitations. And commissions.
Commissions? On what?
On works of art.
Works of art? You mean to tell me that out of the money I paid with that appalling painting...
What did you do in the city, Reeves? What was the expression you used the other week? Buy cheap, sell dear.
But that's completely different.
Is it? Got something here I thought you might be interested in.
Yeah? What's this?
Oh, it's just some literature about the Higgins Ragg Foundation Fund.
What?
Oh, don't bother to read it all. It's just to fill you in on the background. You and I, Reeves, as businessmen, know that what counts in the world is solid commercial sense and solid cash.
That's true.
Unfortunately, we have to recognise that although money is essential, the best people want something more. Unless, of course, the fortune is princely. After business, sport is naturally the most important national activity and the passport to society. Golf is admirable, but a little too common. Now, if you hunted or played polo...
Yeah, well, I'm not at all sure I want to know what you call the best people.
My dear fellow, don't you want to have your photograph in the Tatler?
No.
Your wife does.
Oh, well, that's a different matter.
Not at all. On the contrary, a man's social position depends very much on his wife. And Mrs. Reeves has very sound ideas. You'd find horse racing invaluable. But failing that, there's always this art fad to go on. Personally, I see little in it. Literature's more in my line. Books are solid.
Money in them?
Precisely. But some of the best people, not those out of the top draw, of course, but quite good people, do dabble a bit in art and music.
Higgins rag is going to be made a fashionable fad. Get in on the ground floor and see what I mean.
But I dislike his music intensely.
So do I, but what does that matter? If the best people choose to like obscene noises, that's their affair. We must adapt ourselves, Reeves. We must adapt ourselves.
But surely,
ah,
I mean...
There you are.
Ah, my dear. And dear Mrs. Reeves, how charming of you to join us. Ah, woman, woman, what should we do without her? I must make an epigram on that one day. I got the first two lines as you came into the room. When Adam knocked his evening tie and Eve appears in Lanvin's
dresses. Mr. Reeves made up his mind about Bertie.
Not quite, but he's on the point. A little feminine persuasion.
Well, I can't think why John's so obstinate about this little check. But at my age, I suppose I mustn't expect anything from a husband.
I'm not a millionaire.
Yeah, I didn't know you had financial difficulties.
No, I haven't, but I assumed you'd have if I went on paying out money for nothing.
For nothing?
Well, we're the best people.
Chance of a lifetime.
Young man.
He's a genius.
Backed by the leading musical expert.
May I come in, darlings?
No. Go away and wait until you're sent for.
£100. I mean, £100.
Well, what do you do it for?
Hang if I know. You know, Marshall, I used to think that men who let themselves be imposed on were weak-kneed, spineless...
sapheads.
Precisely. But without the protection of an office, a man's helpless. Perfectly helpless.
Yeah, can you beat it?
And now there's something else of that kind blowing up. I can feel it in the air. She's got that look in her face when she's planning some new tomfoolery and doesn't know how to ask for the money. Well, it's all very well, Marshall, but living as we do, with a house and two grown-up children who have to be kept, I can't afford these freaks and fads. And there's something else coming up. I know it.
Mm. Have some more wine, honey.
You know, darling, I've been thinking about you so much lately. That's why I've come all this dreadfully inconvenient way to see you. Do appreciate me for it, darling. I want to talk to you about something which has been on my mind for days and days.
So nice of you.
You're getting on beautifully, Mrs. Reeves, darling. You really are. Oh. All sorts of really good people are talking about you and saying how charming you are and how young you look. But there is one little thing that troubles me and might be a real handicap.
What is it?
Well, darling, now that you're getting on so splendidly, I mean to say you'll want to do things properly. Of course, I know this place is rather a long way out, and it might be better to take a house in Mayfair, but there's no reason why you shouldn't entertain here. Of course, darling, I don't say a word against this lovely drawing room, but I know Iggy could make it perfectly divine for you. You know what people are, darling. They do insist on everything being smart and chic and up to date, and Iggy's most fashionable now, and it would be wonderful publicity for you, darling.
Iggy?
Mr. Reeves, may I present Senor Ignacio Thumbthong?
It is so awfully jolly nice of you to come to see me.
Don't you ever want to get back to Spain, Iggy? I know I often yearn for the splendor and glamour of the South, don't you, darling?
Oh, yes.
I am much in love with England. I love the beautiful green lawns and the fogs and the policemen, all those pretty soldiers. And I have many, many good friends. Oh, so many.
Now, darlings, while you're here, you must look all over Iggy's charming house. He did it all himself, you know. Isn't this room charming? Don't you think so, Mr. Reeves?
Who is that lady?
Lady?
In the glass case with all the knives stuck in her.
Oh, that is the Virgin of the Seven Dolores.
Terribly Spanish.
Charming.
So original, don't you think, and so very smart. Don't you think so, Mr. Reeves?
I found a beautiful thing yesterday.
Oh, Iggy, too divine. Where did you find it?
What is it?
So poetic. Don't you think, Mr. Reeves, that this lovely old thing makes one dream of the past? Of delightful marquises and abbeys and all that sort of thing?
Oh.
I'd love to buy it from you, Iggy, if I could afford it.
Well, since you asked...
But I know you won't part with it for anything, and I wouldn't deprive you of such a treasure. It's so delightful to know there are still people who care for beautiful things, isn't it, Mr. Reeves? People who bring a little life and colour and romance into this dreadful world. You're a public benefactor, Iggy, you really are. I'm sure you brought light and colour to poor Lady Bladebourne with that delightful room you did for her.
Oh, it was a little thing.
No, don't be foolish, Iggy. You know perfectly well you're one of the most famous decorators in London, and lots of smart women are longing for you to do rooms for them. Now, open that door, Iggy, and show Mr. and Mrs. Reeves that beautiful bedroom you've done for yourself.
Iggy. Purple! How brilliant, isn't it, Mr. Reeves? Mrs. Reeves, darling, isn't it charming? Darling, do appreciate me for bringing you to see it. It's absolutely divine, Iggy. I do envy you. Imagine snuggling down to sleep every night amidst these riches. It's simply a work of genius, isn't it, Mrs. Reeves?
So original.
And tasteful. That positively gigantic crucifix. Isn't it just...
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Reeves, I'm sure you must see what a genius Iggy is. And I'm sure you'll agree with me and Mrs. Reeves that you ought to let Iggy and I rearrange your drawing room for you.
Rearrange?
Oh, John, please.
Well, Jane, if you want to waste your time pushing the chairs around... Look, I think it's time we left, my dear.
Splendid. Oh, splendid, Mr. Reeves. You simply won't know the place.
Will you be in today, darling?
Haven't decided yet. Why?
Mr. Hawksneach is coming this afternoon.
I'll go out, then.
With Mr. Samson. To see what needs to be done in the drawing room.
Yeah, well, keep an eye on them. I don't want the pictures moved. Except for that Homer thing. You can throw that out if you like. But the stag at bay stays where it is, over the fireplace.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure it'll be most tasteful, darling.
Yes.
Mr. Hawksneach has the most exquisite... John. John.
What's the matter?
John!
Is somebody dead?
Who is Margle?
You mean Margle. You know her. Lady Stone, wife of a friend of mine in the city. We met her at one of those damn cocktail parties.
Why does she write letters to you?
Never had a letter from her in my life.
Don't add lying to everything else. There's a letter from her here.
Well, what the dickens do you mean by opening my letters?
It was addressed to me. To insult me, I suppose. Here, take it.
Oh, it's addressed to me, all right. Oh, yes, there's a sort of twiddle on the end of the mister. Here. Well, what's she got to say for herself?
Dear John, I won't be able to make it this time. Jerry's going out of town on business or something and wants me to tote around with him, and I guess I'll have to go. It's tough, as I was looking forward to being with you. Never mind, I'll be home next week, and maybe we can make up for it then. Hope Mrs. Reeves hasn't been as pesky as usual, and that there haven't been too many fool parties. Cordially, Margil.
Oh, my God.
Well?
Well, we were going to lunch together, and she writes to postpone it. It's all quite simple.
Not quite as simple as that. Why does she say this time?
Because we've lunched before, I suppose.
Ah, so even you can't deny you've constantly been going about together.
I do deny it. We've lunched together a couple of times or so, that's all. Dash it, you wanted me to go in for this social business. You took me to Lady What's-her-name's, where I met Lady Stone. Surely I can pick the ones I want to know, can't I?
Knowing people is one thing. Having a mean, clandestine intrigue with a married woman is another.
But good heavens, I'm not having an intrigue with anybody.
Then why does she talk about making it up to you?
Damned if I know. Silly thing to write.
And why am I pesky, if you please? I suppose that's low American for being in your way.
Ah, my fault, that. I did say I was getting fed up with this social business you're so keen on. But there wasn't anything
else. John! Do you want a divorce?
A what?
I asked you if you want me to divorce you.
Certainly not.
Then what do you want me to do?
To have a little common sense. Now, look here, Jane.
Do you expect me to condone adultery?
There hasn't been any adultery.
Then why does she write you love letters?
Jane, you've got a nasty mind.
Oh, must I be insulted, too?
I say you find harm where there isn't any, or you wouldn't have created all this misery out of nothing.
Nothing?
If you'd only listen to me.
I would like to trust you, John, but I know what men are in these situations.
Jane, for 30 years, my word's been as good as my bond in the city.
That was only business. This is love.
Nothing of the sort. You invented the love.
I didn't invent the deception. Or the lunches.
All right, that's fair. Look, Jane, I'm willing to do anything in reason to clear this matter up once and for all. Can you make any suggestions? Any practical suggestions?
Would you consent to our going abroad for a time, away from her?
Abroad? Well, there might be something to be said for it. Tell you the truth, Jane, I am getting a bit bored, and if it'll make you happy. Yes, we might have a look at some of those old places people rave about.
And will you write her a letter, breaking it off forever?
Well, I can't exactly do that. It was never on, you know.
If you're sincere, you'll let me compose the letter and you'll copy it out and sign it.
Well, what do you want me to say?
I think this will do, John. My dear Marjorie, my wife has found out everything and is broken-hearted. As I find that I love her more than you, I am going abroad with her to try to atone, and I write this to say that all is over between us. My wife is ready to forgive me if I never see you again. So this is to say goodbye forever, John.
I can't send a woman a letter like that. She'll send her husband round. Besides, it's absurd.
Then you refuse. You won't break it off.
Oh, don't be a fool. Here, get up. Let me write. Dear Lady Stone, many thanks for yours of the 17th inst. In reply, I beg to state that I shall be unable to lunch with you as requested, as I am going abroad for an indefinite time. Hoping this will cause you no inconvenience, I am, yours very truly, John Reeves.
But why do you want to go abroad now, darling? The season's not nearly over.
It's on account of Mr. Reeves's health. The doctor says he must go abroad at once.
How very tiresome for you, darling. What's the matter with him?
His heart. His heart's affected.
Why didn't you let him go by himself?
Oh, I can't do that. I can't possibly.
But how can Iggy and I finish decorating your room? Isn't that right, Iggy?
See.
The servants will still be here, and I'll tell them that you and Mr. Samson can come in whenever you wish and have complete freedom. Will that do?
It's not the same thing as if you were there. I mean, we're going to need to consult with you, darling. I mean, Iggy has this idea of getting dear Peter to do a mural.
Last night, I go to bed thinking to myself, how must I make this room beautiful for Mrs. Reeves? And I say to myself, God will show me in my dreams. And I have a most beautiful dream that I am in heaven with many, many pretty young men who are angels. In my dream are Michelangelo and Shakespeare, who read me their sonnets. And they tell me, Marcel Proust is coming to heaven. And then I see Oscar Wilde, who has become an angel. And God blew a trumpet, and many angels come with Marcel. And they embrace and say, here is paradise. And when I am awake, I say to myself, God has showed me what to do in Mrs. Reeves' drawing room. Oh. Then I ask myself.
All right, Iggy. All right. You can see that Iggy has simply set his heart on that mural, Mrs. Reeves.
Yes, I'm so sorry. But what can one do about illness?
Now, do tell me where you think we should go.
Why don't you go to Cannes? Becky's going there in August, and as this silly Spanish thing is still going on, I expect I shall be there too. Why don't you take a villa, darling, and we could all come and stay with you?
Aren't they very expensive?
Oh, only 4,000 or 5,000 francs a month. Really dirt cheap.
Oh. It's a long time till August. We might be a little lost without you and Becky. Is there anywhere else we might go in the meantime?
You might go to Venice. Of course, since Italy has been so perfectly beastly to us, people aren't going there so much. But I believe some people still go to Venice. The gondoliers are very attractive, I'm told.
I expect we'll do that, then.
Don't be too long in Venice, darling. Go early to Cannes and get a nice villa. And Becky and I will come and stay with you. And Diggy, too.
Dear.
Won't that be lovely?
Lovely. And Mr. Hawksnee.
Oh, Ansie, please.
Ansie, the work you're going to do here, you and Mr. Samson, you know, while we're away, it won't cost very much, will it? Sure you won't have an ice, John? They're really delicious, aren't they, Marcel?
They ought to be. They cost enough.
But we're paying for the music, John.
Yeah, well, I could do without it myself. You know, when we first arrived, I couldn't believe these people were ever great traders. I've changed my mind now. They certainly know how to charge.
But it's the history, John, and the beauty all around us. And the peace.
Well, that's true, that's true. None of those screeching monstrosities you seem to have picked up.
My dear Reeves, how very pleasant to see you again.
Mr. Roberts and Mrs. Roberts. Hello. Oh, won't you join us? Now, you haven't met our daughter, have you?
Delighted, dear lady. How do you do, my dear? We have hunted you assiduously in every canal, campo and calle of Venice, my dear Reeves.
Mr. Hawksleach wrote us you were here, but forgot to tell us your hotel.
It's so pleasant to see you, and so kind of you to look for us.
And are you feeling better?
Who? Me?
You've been ill, dear.
First I've heard of it.
He was so run down after so many years of hard work, I thought he needed a change.
And so you came to Venice. Ah, Venezia, Venezia. Her name is written in all our hearts, the immortal bride of the Adriatic.
We adore Venice. Venice is unique.
I thought you liked a place called Bordi something or other.
Bordighera? I think we may say without exaggeration that Bordighera has let us down. Definitely let us down.
Oh, we liked it so much, but it was in vain.
The most dreadfully common people, you know. Tourists.
And what are we, if not tourists?
So, we are not to be compared with the common tourist who stares unseeingly at the masterpieces of the ages. We are travellers of leisure and culture.
Ooh.
Marcel is enjoying Venice so much, aren't you, dear? She paints, you know.
Ooh. Oh, indeed. Oh, how delightful for her to know Venice so young. The painter's paradise, I always call it.
You find the Carpaccio's an inspiration? I always think Carpaccio the very essence of the Venetian spirit.
Oh, these old masters are all right, but there's nothing more to be learned from.
Ah, the young, always so charmingly intolerant. Tell me, Reeves, which do you prefer, Veronese or Titian? I must confess that I myself sometimes feel that Tintoretto at his best, you understand, at his best, is perhaps superior to both of them. And then, of course, there is the problem of Giorgione. Tell me, Reeves, can you help me in this delicate aesthetic dilemma?
I'm afraid not. I never have much time for this art business.
Oh, but you must make time, Reeves. You must make time.
Yes, speaking of time, I hope you won't think me rude, but in my present state of health, I ought to be in bed by 10.
Oh, of course, I quite understand. You need rest, relaxation, of course. Signor, il conto, per favore.
Oh,
no, Reeves, I insist. Mrs. Reeves, I have a favor to ask you. I should be honored if your husband would join me in a small bachelor dinner on Friday. I want to introduce him to two remarkable men, Harold Filboy and Signor Eraste Paderini. Will you allow me to carry off your husband for one evening? If I promise that he shall not get tired and that I will bring him back to his hotel in a gondola myself.
And Mrs. Reeves and her daughter might dine with me that evening at our Palatino.
I don't think I
think it would be perfectly charming.
You'll be charmed with Filboy and Paderini. I may tell you that they're exceedingly difficult men to meet, but they're old friends of mine, old friends. Don't let Filboy's great reputation intimidate you. He's the most genial of men and devoted to me. Oh, devoted. Ah, here they are.
My dear Robert. Not late, I trust.
No. We have this moment arrived ourselves. Reeves, allow me to present you to Harold Filboy, whose remarkable novels have taken English literature by storm.
Delighted, I'm sure.
And his friend, Signor Eraste Paderini.
How do you do?
A great honor, Signor.
Please, join us.
Thank you.
Now, do try this wine. I think you will find it a very respectable vintage.
But this is good.
I am delighted to hear it. I ordered it especially when I reserved the table. Now, Reeves, what would you care to select from the menu?
Would there be one in English?
Dear Reeves, restaurants with English menus are only for the tourists.
Well, that may be, but this isn't much use to me.
I think if it is acceptable to all of you, I shall go to the kitchen myself and have a word with the chef.
By all means.
Make sure that everything is cooked with superlative care. You have to look out for these people, you know. Steal the last brass farthing from under the pillow of their dying mother. Disgusting people.
I wonder why you live with them. You wouldn't have that trouble in England.
In Italy, there are many things you have not in England. Everything has come from Italy, everything. All that you have of civilization is stolen from Italy. What have England done, eh? Nothing.
Don't talk rot, Eraste. Your idea of England is derived from peddling old clothes in the Caledonian market.
Oh.
Reeves, have some more wine.
Don't mind if I do.
Now, do you know what I see today on the Piazzetta Aroldo? There was an old woman, an English spinster, come back from the Lido in a gondola. Just as she get out, holding tight to the gondolier hand, a pair of scarf they go by, and boom, she fall in the water, and she scream like mad, and then boom, the gondola hit her twice on the head.
Good God.
Was she killed?
No, I do not know. I think so. The gondolier, he pull her out, and then the carabinieri come and take her away. You would love to see how much her petticoat flare up, and she go boom in the water.
Just my luck. I'm never on the spot when anything interesting happens. I was half an hour in the Piazzetta this morning and saw nothing more thrilling than the lice on the beggars.
Gentlemen, any moment now, the minestrone.
Gyrations of sparrows or butterflies. What made sex attractive and resistible was identifying it with sin. Baudelaire, for instance, got a tremendous kick out of it by convincing himself that it was sin, that woman was evil, and that he was the devil of a chap for being so wicked. And Swinburne, the arch plagiarist of the last century, picked up the idea and popularized it. But scarlet sins went out with the 90s.
The naughty 90s, yes.
No, you missed the point completely.
The grappa. Ever tried grappa, Reeves?
No, can't say I have.
The essence of Italia.
Give it a try. Cheers.
Oh, my God. Incomparable flavor, is it not?
I should bloody well hope it is.
You will find you acquire a taste for it. I think this is a fitting moment to inform Mr. Reeves of our great project. As an intelligent man, Reeves, you must have noticed that there is no literary review in England worth reading. I would stake my reputation that you never look at one.
I shouldn't dream of it.
Of course not. And it has doubtless never occurred to you that this lamentable gap might be filled. The fame of your activities as a patron of the arts has already spread as far as Venice, Mr. Reeves. We know with what unusual generosity and remarkable taste You have been devoting your cultured leisure as well as your means to fostering the arts of painting, music, and interior decoration. We do not repine at this noble devotion to the cause of our sister arts and our brother artists, but we have arranged this pleasant meeting so that we might bring to your attention the distressed condition of that Cinderella among the arts, the Literary Review. Briefly, we plan to produce a quarterly under the title of the New Literary Review. If you will be so kind as to look over the prospectus, Mr. Reeves, you will see what we plan. It will scarcely be a commercial venture in the ordinary sense of the word.
John, look at these lovely flowers Mr. Filboy sent me. And there's this lovely bottle of grappa for you from a senior Piderini. And, oh, John, Mr. Filboy has invited our whole family to spend the weekend.
Jane, we must leave Venice at once.
At his villa? Isn't that generous? What?
Today.
Why?
Because I say so.
But Marcel and I are going to visit the British Consul tomorrow, John.
You'll have to put it off, that's all.
But, John, you can't put the British Consul off.
Yes, you can. Go and pack and tell Marcel and Basil to pack too.
But why? And if we do go, where are we going to go to?
I don't care. Anywhere away from those sharks. Anywhere.
I shall need some shopping money today, John.
Shopping? What do you need to do any shopping for? I'll be living in a hotel.
Marcel and I both need clothes.
What? We both had a new outfit before we left home, and you got some more in Venice to go and see that consul you didn't see.
And whose fault was that, may I ask? Who dragged us away from Venice?
Oh, all right, all right.
I'm not going to let Marcel be dandy, or Basil. And I don't see why I should be either. Now we're in Cannes, we'll need smart bathing costumes and caps and beach shoes. And, of course, one or two afternoon frocks. And Marcel will need tennis clothes and shoes. And, of course, we shall need something cool and smart for the evening. And Basil will need an entire new...
Darling! Darling! How divine to see you again.
And to see you, but I didn't expect you to come for weeks yet, Mr. Hawksley. And...
Well, darling, to tell you the truth, I've been just the teensiest bit worried.
Worried about what?
Darling, you know, all those letters I've been writing you about your lovely room.
What's happened? Has something gone wrong?
No, not with the room. No, the room's simply divine. My dear, we work like galley slaves, and it looks too beautiful. And Peter's mural, you'll love it.
I'm sure I shall. It's very good of you to have worked so hard.
No, dear, it's more a question of, well, the dibs, you know.
Dibs?
The £250, dear.
Oh, but I explained in my letter...
Oh, yes, I quite understand why you don't want to speak to Mr. Reeves about it at the moment, not if he isn't well. When I have toothache, I simply hate people to ask me for money. It seems so cruel.
So kind of you.
But of course, darling, it's dreadfully tiresome of you and Mr. Reeves to let me down like this. I don't know why I'm so tender-hearted about it. Other people wouldn't be. I must say, it's very hard on Iggy and I to have to give such long credit.
But you do understand the difficulty.
Yes, yes, but don't keep me waiting forever. Next week at the latest, shall we say? After all, darling, I've got to live. And I work very hard for my living. Nobody knows how hard I work, and I get no credit for it. Do appreciate me, darling.
Oh, I do.
But I absolutely must have it next week, darling. Now, who do you think is coming to Cannes?
Is it someone I know?
Not yet, darling, but you will if you behave nicely.
Oh, I can't imagine. Do tell me.
Lady Crowder. Isn't it wonderful, darling?
Oh, yes. When does she arrive?
I don't quite know, darling. They're on their famous yacht on their way to Yugoslavia. I had a letter from Becky saying they're going to stop a few days in Cannes, and she'll let me know as soon as they arrive. Isn't it exciting, darling?
Wonderful. Will there be many people with them?
A very select party. A few of the very best people, and they're bound to give a fete on the yacht. They'll have champagne and ices and Japanese lanterns and dancing on the deck.
Oh, it sounds like fairyland.
Oh, it will be. I shall be there. And I'm going to get an invitation for you, darling.
Oh, how very charming of you.
But you'll have to get some really smart clothes. I'll take you down to Longvine tomorrow. They've got a branch here and see what I can find for you. Let me see. You'll need a very smart evening frock. And then you better have an afternoon frock as well, in case they ask you on board during the day.
Will they cost very much?
Not more than 7,000 or 8,000 francs, and it's well worth the money for a chance like this. The Crowders know everybody.
John!
What? This is Jane. What's the time?
Oh, John!
What was this? What happened?
Oh, John, I don't know how to tell you.
Well, tell me what?
Oh, wake up, John! This afternoon, when you came back here and I said I'd go for a walk, you remember, dear. It was just after you'd been to the bank and given me the money for those dresses.
Yeah, I remember that. What happened?
Well, I was walking along one of those quaint little back streets, you know. And there was this banana peel, and I didn't see it. And, John, I slipped on it and fell over right into the road. And this car was coming along, John. I think it was a Rolls.
Were you hurt?
Oh, no, not really. I thought I'd broken my ankle, but it's all right now. Oh. Anyway, what happened was this man, this gentleman, this baron, John, he happened to be passing and he picked me up and saved my life.
Well, that was deuced decent of him. So, as long as you're all right. Yeah. Did you say a baron?
An Austrian baron. He gave me his card.
Baron de Holbach, Schloss Alderstein, Outreach. Holbach, funny names these foreigners have. So, as long as you're all right.
John, will you listen? What? I was so shaken, John, and upset, and he very kindly, at least I thought it was kind, took me into a little cafe and insisted on buying me a coffee and... Oh, John!
Now, calm down, Mother. I can't bear to see you cry. You know that. Just tell me what's happened.
I can't. It's too awful.
Well, there. Now, this will never do. Come on, Jane. Be sensible and tell me. Perhaps I can do something.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, have the Crowders failed to turn up? The Crowders are coming. Do it. Do it.
Worse than that.
Oh, you're not going to tell me your friend Hawks needs to join the army.
John, no! My handbag has been stolen with all that money in it.
What? That I drew from the bank? You sure?
Of course I'm sure.
But how do you mean stolen? Who stole it? What happened?
The Baron!
The Baron?
Oh, John. It was one of those tea shops crowded with chattering women eating cakes, and he said I must have some cakes with my coffee, and I said I didn't want any, but he insisted and insisted. So I went over to the counter to choose some just out of politeness, and there were packs of those women pushing and elbowing around the counter, and it took me ages to get the silly cakes. And when I got back to the table, he'd gone, and so had my handbag.
Well, why the devil didn't you keep it with you?
I never thought.
You never do think. Well, it's no good crying over spilt milk.
Oh, but my dresses.
You can't have them now.
But they were specially made for me, and I paid 1,000 francs on account.
What do you mean, made for you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. But it wasn't my fault, John. I didn't know. Who would have suspected a baron?
Oh, my dear, how absolutely too awful. You must be a perfect wreck.
I was very upset. It's a great loss.
Oh, well, darling, I know it's very tragic and all that, but you'll just have to make the best of it. And now I've a marvellous piece of news for you. Lord Crowder's yacht came into Cannes yesterday. Oh. Isn't it too wonderful?
And when is the fate to be?
I really don't know, darling. You mustn't be so terribly impatient. I'll ring you up the moment I have your invitation. And now, darling, have you got that cheque for me?
Which one do you think I should wear first, Marcel?
I'm sure I don't know.
I do like the blue so much. But the black chiffon... Oh, Marcel, what do you think, honestly?
Why don't you wait till you get the invitations?
Yes, dear, you're quite right. It all depends on which I attend first, the fete or the afternoon party. Yes, you're quite right. Marcel, are you sure there were no messages for me while I went out to buy the shoes?
No.
I suppose these things can't be arranged in 5 minutes, though I do really think dear Ansie might try a little harder. Darling, I think I simply must get a new handbag to go with the black chiffon. You will be in for a few minutes, won't you, in case Ansie, Mr. Hawksneach, rings.
Sorry, got to meet someone.
Oh.
Bien sûr, monsieur. Yes, madame?
I'm terribly sorry to trouble you, but I have to go out for just a few moments, and I'm expecting a very important telephone call.
Time for the little wooden hill to Bedfordshire, Mother.
I think I'll just stay down here a little longer. You really must call this evening. I mean, it's been 2 days now. I do wish he'd thought to tell me which hotel he was staying at.
Good morning, madame.
Have there been...
No, madame, I regret... no messages.
Oh.
Hello, darling. You look hot.
Oh, why didn't you ring me up as you said you would?
Oh, were you expecting a call?
Of course I was. You said you'd ring me as soon as you knew when I was to visit the Crowder's yacht.
Did I? Yes, I believe I did. But, darling, it wasn't any good ringing you.
Why not?
Because the Crowders have gone.
Gone? Do you mean they've left?
Sailed for Genoa this afternoon. I had lunch with them.
After all you promised.
Don't be unreasonable, darling. It isn't my fault if the Crowders didn't give a fete this year. And I can't help it if they sail sooner than they intended.
And you made me buy all those expensive clothes.
Really, Mrs. Reeves, darling. I don't know what you're thinking about. I gave up my valuable time and my knowledge of fashion to help you buy a couple of pretty frocks, and now you turn all nasty and cross. I think the least you can do for me is to see that Mr. Reeves pays me that check. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have a rather important engagement.
Oh! The little beast! The miserable little... Little aristocrat!
John, dear, I've been thinking. Don't you think, John, that while we're here, wouldn't it be nice to see Monte Carlo?
What? In this weather, it's too hot even sitting still.
But I should love to. And I'm sure poor dear Basil's bored to death here in Cannes. Why shouldn't we all go? It's not often that we're all together now. I should like to get away from Cannes.
Then why don't we go home?
I don't want to go home. To go to Monte Carlo, and so do the children.
Well, I'm hanged if I do.
Neither do I. It's much too hot, and I adore Cannes. Let me stay here with Daddy, and your brother will go.
Ah, so you'd rather stay with your old Daddy than go off on a jaunt, eh, Puss? Well.
Yes, Daddy.
Very well. You and Basil go to Monte Carlo, Jane. No, why the dickens you want to go in this heat beats me. And Marcel and her Daddy will stay here. Shall we, Ducky?
Yes, Daddy.
Excuse me.
Yes, monsieur.
Would you have any stamps? I've been writing a letter, rather an urgent one.
Oh, leave it with me, monsieur. I shall see that it is posted immediately.
Thanks very much. Oh, and by the way...
Monsieur?
You haven't seen my daughter come in, have you, Miss Reeves? We were supposed to meet for a coffee, but she didn't appear.
Miss Reeves is in her room, monsieur. I believe she has been there all the afternoon.
Oh, has she? Heat's getting her down, I expect.
No doubt.
Puss, you in there? It's Daddy.
Oh, God.
I'm asleep. Puss, are you all right?
Coming, Daddy.
Marcel, who is that?
This is...
What the devil does this mean?
We're engaged.
Oh, you are you?
I wish to marry Miss Reeves.
You do you?
My name is Gombo, Augustin Gombo, and I wish to marry Miss Reeves.
Well, Mr. Gombe, the best thing you can do is to get the hell out of here. You can come round and see me at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'll talk to you straight.
Oh, you insult me.
Don't talk rot. Clear out.
You mustn't insult Augustin, Daddy. He's going to be my husband.
Says you.
Out!
You will hear from me further.
That's right, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Get some clothes on. So, that's why you didn't want to go to Monte Carlo. That's why you wanted to stay with your old daddy, is it? Answer me.
You can't expect me to remain a child forever, Daddy.
You're not yet of age.
I'm old enough to know what I want.
Oh, and you want to marry that fellow?
Yes.
God, how long have you known him?
About a fortnight.
Plenty of time to find out about a man you're going to marry. I was engaged for 6 years.
And what a success it's been, hasn't it, darling?
Don't be impudent. Where did you meet this fellow?
At the Boeuf Savant.
What the hell does that mean?
It means the clever ox.
Clever ox? What are you talking about?
It's a cabaret, a dancing place, the best known in Cannes.
Never heard of it.
In spite of which, it exists.
Oh, a nightclub, a nice place for a respectable girl to pick up a husband.
Mummy would like it. Only the best people go there.
Plenty of barons, eh? And what does that young man do for a living?
He's a professional dancer.
I knew it. The moment I set eyes on him, I knew he was a lounge lizard.
He's not a lounge lizard. He's a most beautiful dancer, and one day he'll be famous.
And how does he propose to keep you until that happy day arrives?
We shall dance together.
And starve together, no doubt. Has he got any money?
No, but he will have.
Now look here. I'm going to talk straight to
you. Oh, Daddy, you've forgotten you were young yourself once.
I didn't do things like this when I was young. I didn't approve of them then any more than I do now. And you can't marry without money, Marcel. It's damned expensive. Now, look here. I'll see Mr. What's-His-Name tomorrow. And if he can satisfy me that he's a decent, honourable fellow with a regular job and prospects, I'll consent to your engagement. But if he's just a lounge lizard, as I suspect, then I forbid you ever to see him again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, Daddy.
Splendid. And you agree to what I say?
Yes, Daddy.
Yes. And you know, Puss, it's only for your own good.
Yes, Daddy.
Excellent. Now let's go and have some dinner. Porter, hasn't Mr. Gombe asked for me? I've been expecting him for the past hour.
No, monsieur. Well. Oh, monsieur, your daughter left a letter for you.
She's left?
Oh, she left the hotel at 7 o'clock this morning, monsieur. But, she said you will pay the bill. Here is her letter.
Daddy, since you're so silly and bigoted about Augustin and me, we've decided to go away together. I hope we'll meet again in a better temper with each other after Augustin and I are married. Marcel.
God damn.
Monsieur?
I want to see the manager.
Hello. This is not good.
No, indeed.
The carrying off of a young female English by a French citizen from my hotel. Bad.
Yes.
You wish them arrested?
No, no, certainly not. No, all I want is to find out where they are and make my daughter see sense.
Ah, well, matters can be arranged amicably. Oh, good. Well,
can you help me at all?
I shall do my best, monsieur. You understand, I do not promise, but I shall try. I will telephone to a friend of mine.
Mr. Gombe.
Oh.
Won't you join me? Please, sit down. Have a cigarette.
Merci.
Now, Mr. Gombe, you have run away with my daughter, and I understand you wish to marry.
I wish to marry, Miss Reeve.
Yes. You possibly think, Mr. Gombe, that if my daughter marries you, I shall give you money. I shall not give you a penny. If she marries you, she gets nothing. You must understand that clearly. But, Mr. Gombe, you are a young man just starting on a career. You don't want to be encumbered with a wife. On the other hand, you could do with a little money, couldn't you?
My English, it is not so good.
I do not understand.
I think you do, Mr. Gombe.
I love her.
5,000 francs.
Daddy!
Yes, Daddy.
How did you find where we were?
Your little bird told me. Or perhaps it was Father Christmas. Anyway, you see, I'm here.
Where's Augustin?
Mr. Gombe? He's gone for a nice long walk, ducky.
John! Where have you been?
In Nice, actually, with Marcel.
Nice? Whatever for?
Our little girl's been in a spot of trouble, Mother, since you left, haven't you, Puss?
Yes, Daddy. What trouble? What happened?
Never mind. It's all over and forgotten. But it's upset our little girl quite a lot. We'll say no more about it.
Oh, but surely a mother...
A mother can see her daughter isn't very happy and doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, Daddy, you are wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you get back to Cannes?
You didn't get my telegram?
No, we just arrived. What telegram?
The one I sent this morning from Monte Carlo.
No? Anything wrong?
Now, John, you mustn't be angry with Basil. He's terribly cut up about it. But yesterday we went to the casino and...
And what?
He lost all the money we had.
Oh, he did he? Where is he now?
Upstairs, lying in his bedroom.
Is he indeed?
Oh, do try to understand, John. It's been terrible. We tried to borrow some money there, and they were horrid about it. Mm. I had to let them take my watch before they'd send the telegram. And I'm so hungry. I haven't had any lunch.
No lunch? Oh, you must be starving. Look, we'll find a bar, get you some sandwiches.
Oh, I'll just run up and get Basil.
You'll do nothing of the kind. Come along.
But he's starving too.
Good, good. Let him go without a meal for once in his life. It might begin to teach him the value of money. Now, where's this bar? And after you've had something to eat, I'll go and get our tickets.
Tickets? What tickets?
For London. We're going home.
Good to be home again, eh, Mother?
Oh, yes, dear. It is nice to have a real cup of tea.
Yes, and a decent meal.
The vegetables were all from the garden, dear.
Delicious. Tip-top dinner.
Mm.
Just the thing to go with the pommade.
Well, Marcel and I will be in the small sitting room, dear.
Oh, well, why not the drawing room?
It's not quite ready yet.
Oh, never mind. Now, I'll have a look at some of those bills I see piled up out there. Right. Household bills. I'll leave those for Jane. Repairs on the house, £93.14. Oh, God, what's this? From the bank? But overdrawn? Good God, to get on to that tomorrow. Oh, he's been writing to me on purple paper. Perfumes, too.
Dear Mr. Reeves, I really think you've treated Mr. Samson and I disgracefully. We worked like slaves to make your drawing room beautiful and spent a lot of money out of our own pockets, and you've never paid a penny of the money you and Mrs. Reeves promised as soon as it was done. I frequently asked Mrs. Reeves to tell you to send me a cheque, but first she pretended you were ill, and then you suddenly disappear from Cannes in the most suspicious manner. I must ask you to send me a cheque by return of post, or I shall be compelled to put the account into the hands of my solicitor for collection. Yours very faithfully, Anselm Hawksneach, Mr.
Jane? Jane! What the... Jane?
Yes, dear. What is it?
What has happened to this room?
Why, darling, don't you remember? You said I might have it redecorated.
Redecorated? It's a madhouse.
Yes, I know it's very modern, dear.
Modern be damned. Do you think I'm going to spend my evening in this morbid, degenerate, obscene...
And what the hell is that?
Oh, I'm not sure, dear. I think it's Spanish.
Get it altered at once.
Oh, but John!
But nothing. Ring up a firm that's respectable and tell them to make this room habitable.
Yes, darling.
And another thing.
Yes, darling.
What is this?
What is what, dear?
This.
Oh, it's the bill for the drawing room.
For this?
You agreed I could have it done, and I agreed we'd pay Mr. Hawksneach £250.
You agreed what?
£250.
You must be mad. Well, I'm not going to pay for it. You ordered it. You jolly well pay for it.
Oh, it's so...
I utterly refuse to pay such a... Oh. Oh, what are we going to do, Mother?
I don't know.
What made you do such an idiotic thing?
I wanted to have the house nice so that we could ask important people.
Jane?
Yes?
Now, stop sniffling. Put that handkerchief away and listen to me. Now, do you hear me?
Yes.
I never thought that when, after years of hard work, I realized my life's ambition and retired, my own wife would spoil it all for me by ridiculous snobberies and follies. And this monstrous claim is the last straw. But you agreed to it, and I'll pay it.
Oh, thank you, darling.
But, Jane, it's the last money you're going to get for the Fatterman snitches and hawkfishers and all the rest of them. There's to be no more of this social climbing. Do you understand me? If you ever see any of that crowd again, you can leave this house. It isn't big enough to hold them and me. Do you understand?
Yes,
and you promise me you'll drop the whole silly business and be a nice, sensible little woman again?
Yes.
Very well. Oh, I dare say you meant well, Jane, but you've plagued the life out of me. There's to be no more of it.
What will you do now, John?
Do? I've already done it. I wrote to Joe Simmons from Cannes. I'm going to get a bit of peace and quiet for a change. I'm going back to the city.
In Seven Against Reeves, the cast was John Reeves, Peter Jeffrey, Jane Reeves, Elizabeth Proud, Ansi, Christopher Good, Marcel Reeves, Jane Slavin, and Becky, Anna Cropper. Mrs. Fadiman Fish, Joe Kendall, Mr. Robert, David King, Mr. Fadiman Fish, Michael Graham Cox, and Margell, Beth Porter. Iggy, John Bull, Augustin Gombeau, David Googe, Signor Pedderini, Ken Cumberledge, and Mr. Philboy, Geoffrey Whitehead. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Seven Against Reeves was written by Richard Aldington and dramatized by Pat Hooker. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.